All right, when it comes to money and money management, you want to be able to make sure that you're making your own financial decisions properly. But you also want to make sure, if you have children or even grandchildren, that you are teaching them the right lessons on how to manage their money. In other words, financial literacy. Financial illiteracy seems to be a very common thing, and it's not taught financial literacy in schools in very many states, and certainly is not a requirement. Only 19 states in the union require financial literacy classes be completed before a student is able to graduate high school. But there are also questions as to whether or not financial literacy in school works. And then what you should do as a parent in order to impart those kinds of lessons. How should we approach the issue of financial literacy and financial education on children, especially those who are getting ready to go out into college or into the working world? Let's talk about it with Clark Kendall, who is the author of the upcoming book, Middle Class Millionaire, Surprisingly Simple Strategies to Grow and Enjoy Your Wealth. He's also a financial advisor and founder of Kendall Capital, a firm in the Washington, D.C. area. Clark, last time we tried this, you were in London and we got shaky with our connection. It's good to have you back and make this happen, sir.
Great. It's an honor to be on your show. You've got a great show. I'm glad to be one of your guests.
I appreciate it very much. So let's talk a little bit about the state of financial literacy and financial literacy education in America. Big picture, what's your opinion?
Big picture, well, half of Americans don't read one book a year. So I think that literacy is a problem, quite frankly, in the United States. I'm proud. About 2 weeks ago, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that at Harvard now, incoming freshmen, financial literacy, personal management is a required class for the incoming class at Harvard. And so I hope the rest of our country can follow what they're doing up at Harvard. But I see time and time again, people don't understand the basic terms of financial literacy, balance sheets, assets, liabilities, and equity.
And so in terms of the school aspect of this, do you think that it's effective to teach kids in school? Should that be a component, or should it simply be up to the parents?
I think many things need to be taught by parents and by teachers and by our community. It takes a village to raise children, and I think the more people involved on financial literacy, I think it cannot hurt. And so I think parents have the responsibility, so do the school system.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about what parents can and should do in terms of imparting this type of knowledge upon their children. But in the school system, I really think that there needs to be more emphasis on all of the different social studies. So that would include financial literacy, economics, and civics. And that's something that needs to be focused on more. I think there are a variety of reasons why it's not. I don't think it's the fault of the teachers. For the most part, I think it has to do with some of the structural focuses on what areas that the standards are most attentive to. But in terms of financial literacy in schools, what do you think would be the most important components to a curriculum?
Well, I mean, I think, quite frankly, what is a stock? What is a bond? Mm-hmm. What's the pros and the cons of having a stock and a bond? What's the pros and cons of putting money into a retirement account? Going over the simple things, as I do in my book, the rule of 72. And what is the rule of 72? It's whatever's divisible by 72 will tell you how long it takes to double your money. If you earn 7.2% return, it takes you 10 years. If you only earn 3.6% return, it takes you 20 years to double the money. So we do go over that in the book. It's how to accumulate, how to know these some of these basic terms. So whether it's taught at school or at home, you know, people need to have that literacy to function, because no longer can we work for ABC Corporation for 30 years and expect to receive a pension for the rest of your life. And those days are what our parents and grandparents did.
Again, our guest is Clark Kendall, who's author of the forthcoming book, Middle Class Millionaire, Surprisingly Simple Strategies to Grow and Enjoy Your Wealth. I want to ask you about financial literacy education in the home and what to do with your kids. I mean, you have the experience of having been running your own little lawn mowing business when you were about 12 years old, I understand. I know that there was a bill here in the Colorado legislature that passed in this past session that would open up for greater opportunities for kids to set up their own lemonade stands or other businesses themselves without having to go through the licensing process. The idea being, let's make sure that we can impart entrepreneurial skills more easily upon children. What do you think is the value of helping your kids to set up a business enterprise?
Well, I think the value is you learn how to work hard, you learn how to deal with customers, you learn what it costs. In my case, cutting grass, I had to make sure I had, you know, working equipment and what that equipment cost. When I was in middle school, my father took me to shareholder meetings, and we talked about, you know, buying common stocks and dividend yields. That was an education process I went through at home. With my children, I have four children, every year their stocking stuffer present is $500 worth of a stock. And you know what? After they understand when their little portfolio goes up or down, they understand what a market pullback is. And they understand when the market goes down or Verizon stock goes down, they keep on texting. And they keep on using their cell phones, so they feel comfortable owning that Verizon stock in their portfolio, for example. So I think there are creative ways, and we point that out in the book, of how you communicate the advantages of accumulating wealth. And basically, you're foregoing current consumption at the movie theater for, you know, future opportunities down the road.
When do you think is a good age to start teaching these types of lessons, particularly about stock investing, but also even basic money management skills?
I think, you know, kindergarten, start with allowance. Let them decide, you know, if they want candy, you know, at the checkout counter. Let them decide that they have limited resources and they can't spend it on anything they want.
I will say that my experience, a couple of the things that I did was I actually babysat a bunch when I was in high school. I also did a little bit of lawn mowing. I did a good bit of, you know, a little bit car washing and that kind of thing in the Adirondack Mountains where my grandparents have owned a place. Growing up, I would sell golf balls on the golf course. We talked about that during the summer. We've talked about that on this program. And those were good ways to really just get out there and experience what it's like to earn money and sometimes pay for any expenses that might be involved in the equipment or materials needed to fulfill whatever service you're providing. But also, one thing that I remember is the importance of saving money in and of itself and just recognizing the value of a dollar. I remember going to my father and saying, I want a TV. Can you get me a TV? And he said, no, I'll help you pay for one a little bit, you know, maybe going in a quarter or a half, but you have to save up the money and pay for the bulk of it. And that's exactly what I ended up doing in order to get my first television. And that was a great way to go about understanding the value of a dollar a little more.
Amen. Amen. That does make a difference. So people own their success. And that's what makes America great, to be quite frank, is, you know, you have the opportunity to work as a waiter or a busboy on Monday or Tuesday. But if you go to school with education, you know, you can own the restaurant. You can become an attorney or a doctor. So I think all these things add up collectively. And we do need the formal education and the informal education at home.
I'm curious of your thoughts, Clark Kendall. Last week, we talked in this program about some of the money management apps that are out there where parents can help monitor spending. They can provide an allowance direct to a pseudo account that their kids are able to manage that's tied with a debit card that may have a limit on it and also may be limited to only specific locations to go to. And we had a discussion where my producer, Bill, and I and one of our guests, we're not really so favorable to the idea of having that level of micromanagement and phone application for just regular management of money and determining where to spend and that sort of thing, as opposed to the value of even giving your kids cash and maybe they go and put it into the bank or what have you. What do you think about that? The applications that help you manage money in that way and have parents directly involved in monitoring spending and those kinds of things versus giving a child a cash allowance and then suggesting maybe they put it in the bank or they can go spend it how they want to or save up or what have you?
I think it's a great question. There's no one investment strategy or investment tool that's right for all people all the time. I have four children, ages, 17 to 29, and I just don't, some of them need to be monitored very closely, some of them, don't need to be monitored at all, and I think you use these tools and applications what's right for your family situation in each case. So I applaud the fact that there are tools out there to monitor how our kids are spending money, and quite frankly, when they turn 18, they can all spend their money as they please, depending upon the state you live in. So, I don't know. I, as I said, I think there are different. It depends upon the family situation, and just to make a blanket statement that it's good or bad, I think is inappropriate.
You mentioned 17, 18-year-olds. That's about the age when young people graduate from high school in particular. And then you've also got folks that graduate from college. This is that time of year, May, June, when that's been happening. What's the biggest piece of money advice you'd give those folks?
Well, kind of, start early. Go over that Rule 72 and realize how quickly you can double your money. I think one of the best advice I give to a graduate is read a book a month. I think 15 years ago I made a pledge, a New Year's resolution, to read a book a month. And I think it's made a huge difference in my life. And reading, my wife gets on my case because I just read business books, but read books even outside of your expertise or your interests. It's a great opportunity. We do have that Middle Class Millionaire book coming to market through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Middle Class Millionaire, Surprisingly Simple Strategies to Grow and Enjoy Your Wealth.
When does the book come out, Clark?
It comes out next week, June 18th. It will be released, and they are accepting pre-orders now at both Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Well, I'm curious, go ahead and if you want to tell us a little bit more about the ways in which you go about the book. How do you break it down? What do you express? Tell us more.
Great. It's broken down three different sections. Kind of the first section is for the accumulators, Rule 72 and other things. The other segment of the book, the middle of the book, is about the retirees or getting ready to retire, because I see many 50, 60-year-olds come saying, do I have enough money to retire? Can I retire comfortably? Am I going to run out of money? A big thing facing that 50, 60-year-old is when to take Social Security. Every year you take Social Security before full retirement, it reduces your benefits by 8% per year. Every year you wait after full retirement to 70, it increases by 8% per year. And for most people, it's a break even around 76, 78 years of age. But the sad fact is only about 8% of Americans wait until 70 to take Social Security. Over a third of Americans take Social Security at 62. And the last segment of the book is for the retirees, and we go over kind of, how to live, which money to take your accounts from. Do you take it from your retirement accounts? Do you take it from your taxable accounts? How are you gifting? Are you gifting correctly to charities? Now the big qualified charitable deduction that you can take it directly from your IRA and then now utilize the standardized deductions. So we go through all those different types of strategies. And then on top of it, I like to call it it's a how-to book, but it's also a how-to book with stories attached.
I'm curious, in your book, Middle Class Millionaire, do you talk about some of the biggest mistakes that people make? Because that's always one of the things that is curious to me, is the notion of learning from the mistakes, the failures of others, because you can then improve, or your own errors in judgment, or just common mistakes that a lot of people have. When you see or hear about things that people did wrong, then you learn how to not repeat them yourself. Those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. That's a common saying. Same thing works when it comes to your personal finances.
Yes, we do go over that. The two biggest mistakes I see people make is they have too much money in one security.
Mm-hmm.
They worked for XYZ Corporation for 30 years, and they were planning to retire based upon the value of that security. General Electric's a great example. It's
yes.
about, what, one-sixth of the value it was at the turn of the century. We've had clients who was... And one of our clients was one of the original 20 employees for AOL, and he saw that go up and saw it go back down. So I see that as far as a major issue. And quite frankly, the other thing is people are basically too conservative with their money.
Hmm.
And, you know, where they will have a majority of their money sitting in CDs or treasuries. Experience share story that we go over in the book. I had a client, two teachers here in the Washington, D.C. market. We were doing all the retirement plan contributions. They had a 7% mortgage at $100,000, and then they had a $100,000 CD. This was back in 2009, right after the Great Recession, earning just 1%. And I recommended, you know, if we're going to be this conservative, let's just pay off the mortgage and save 6% on our money. And 6 months later, they came back, and they hadn't paid off their mortgage. And I said, why haven't you paid off your mortgage? We could save 6%, $6,000 a year. And she goes, well, that CD is the proceeds from my mother's estate, and every month I see her, I see the statement, I think of her, and I go, oh, so that CD is like a tombstone for you. And she goes, yeah, it kind of is. And I go, well, it costs you $500 a month to maintain that tombstone, because that's $6,000 a year is $500 a month. And anyway, long and short of it, after 6 months, she came back and said she had paid off that CD because she thought that's what her mother would want to do. But I see that time and time again. They were just trying to be conservative, but that being conservative, you know, cost them substantial money.
Sure. Well, it's a solid point, Clark Kendall. In your book, Middle Class... Actually, I'm going to rephrase what I'm saying. Your book is titled Middle Class Millionaire. Why? Normally, you don't think of somebody in the middle class being a millionaire. So what is the meaning of the title?
Well, the meaning of the title is I've made a living off of serving kind of hardworking people who I call it the blocking and tackling. These are policemen and teachers. They, you know, Bill Marriott is not a client of ours. Kevin Plank's not. You know, we have no football players. We don't have any basketball players. Most of these people have worked very hard, and I call it just rubbing two nickels together turns into dimes. Running two dimes together makes dollars. And then, you know, dollars makes good sense. So that's really been my focus as far as, you know, the people that Goldman Sachs and Bessemer Trust don't want. You know, this is the mom and pops who work hard, and you can become a millionaire.
Now, we are going through ebb and flows in the market every day, especially right now where we see, you know, yesterday we saw the Dow was up 512 points. Right now it's up 91, so it's up. But last week we saw struggles in the market. What do you make of the notion of volatility, and also how to not get too wrapped up in the day-to-day changes of the market?
Yeah, I always say, you know, take a breath. You know, history repeats itself. Every 13 months, the market pulls back 5 to 8%. It looks like we've just gone through that over the last 6 weeks. History repeats itself. Every, you know, 3 to 5 years, we pull back 10 to 15%. You know, every 10 years, we have a 20% pullback in the market. With this, we also go through the book and sort of say, we call it tranche investing, but if you need to pay nursing homes, if you need to pay tuition payments in August, utilize short-term investment products for short-term needs. We define that less than 3 years. Use intermediate-term investment products, you know, for 3 to 7 years out. But, you know, 8 years and beyond, continue to use good long-term investment products. And there's been huge divergence between our domestic markets and the international markets going on a decade now. And I think that creates long-term opportunities for someone who has the vision of looking at 2030, 2040, and beyond. And when you look that far out, just like the great investors, John Templeton and Warren Buffett, you see opportunities in the marketplace.
The book is Middle Class Millionaire, Surprisingly Simple Strategies to Grow and Enjoy Your Wealth. The author is Clark Kendall, our guest. Clark, the book comes out next week. Best of luck with it. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it was an honor to be on your show. Thank you for your time,
Jim. You bet. We appreciate